Good morning from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church in beautiful Silver Hill, Alabama, and welcome to our Sunday morning worship encouragement, God's Loving Kindness in the Morning. Let's begin with Martin Luther's morning prayer. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me through the night from all harm and danger. I pray that you would keep me this day from all sin and evil, that in all my thoughts and words and deeds I may serve and please you. Into your hands I commend my body and soul and all that is mine. Let your holy angels be with me, that the evil one may have no power over me. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord is in his holy temple. His throne is in heaven. The Lord is near to all who are of a humble and a contrite spirit. He hears the requests of the penitent and listens to their prayers. Let us therefore draw near with boldness to his throne of grace and confess our sins. Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, I have sinned, and done what is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified when thou dost speak, and blameless when thou dost judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, thou dost desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part thou wilt make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Lutherans subscribe to the great confessions of faith of the early church. God has not changed, and our faith remains firm in the teachings of the Bible. That's why we often share what is called the Apostles' Creed in our weekly worship. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Well, let's pray together as we ready our hearts for today's Bible reading. Gracious Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to the earth and sharing your good news of salvation for mankind. Open your holy word to us this morning. Along with our Heavenly Father and your Holy Spirit, minister to our hearts and nurture us in your word. Amen. In the season of Lent, we see the Lord set his face to Jerusalem. We understand from that expression that Jesus knew the way to the cross would be hard, but that he was determined to fulfill the directives received from our Heavenly Father. The disciples had difficulty understanding. In today's narrative, Jesus again goes to the temple and again seeks to make things acceptable to God. The Jewish authorities in control of the temple resist. John calls those authorities and followers the Jews. In foreign countries, there is often criticism of our nation. They may say, "You Americans did this or that." This does not mean that you here in Baldwin County or somewhere else did a certain activity. The word Americans has the sense of American government or American authorities. Think of John's use of the Jews like that. Here's the story of the cleansing of the temple by Jesus in John 2, verses 13 through 22. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. What John is saying is something like this. It is important as a religious season in Jerusalem to be in the temple. There are religious events that must take place. There are religious things that must be purchased. These things were to be used in worship, but they were not to be obtained at the time of worship. Nor were these items to be obtained where worship took place. The people with the goods had actually set up shop where worship was taking place. Secular things were going on in holy places. John tells us what Jesus did after he got into the temple, where all the merchants were. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise." We don't worship this way today. When was the last time you saw an ox or a sheep or doves offered in your place of worship? Remember the concept of sacrifice, though. Sin is bad. We have all been sinners since the Garden of Eden. The Bible explains that there is no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. Sin is worthy of death, and something has to die to atone for sin. Atone means to cover over that sin. The temple was a place of continuous sacrifice because people continued to sin, and all sacrifice was good for covering of sin only for a relatively short period of time. But all those oxen, those sheep, and those doves were to be sacrificed in the temple, but not procured in it, rather outside the temple. So Jesus throws them out. Jesus' followers made the connection with the scriptures. John was there. He reports that it was then his disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house has eaten me up." That was the point that they recognized that Jesus was fulfilling prophecy. The ruling power structure of the temple did not see the connection. John tells us, "So the Jews answered and said to him, 'What sign do you show to us since you do these things?'" That is, who gives you the authority to contradict what we allow in the temple? Now it gets complicated. The Jewish authorities have asked their question. Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Those Jewish authorities missed the point. They assumed that Jesus was talking about the edifice they were in, the one that just had a bunch of tradesmen thrown out of it. John continues, "Then the Jews said, 'It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days?' They were in the temple that Herod the Great had begun building before Jesus Christ was born. The successors of Herod the Great would still be building that temple until just before the destruction of Jerusalem in another 37 years. Those Jewish leaders missed the point, and they missed the real temple. John explains at this point. Jesus was in the Jewish temple, a huge building. Jesus has just chased all the salespeople out of the temple. He has been confronted by the management of the temple, the ones who had allowed merchandising in the temple. Jesus is talking about real cleansing of the temple. Remember, there is no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. If you have to have sacrifice, if you have to take life to have forgiveness of sins, what happens when the life is Christ's? There has been a real jump from the present in what these events mean to the future when sacrifice will happen in God's real temple. John continues, "But Jesus was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scriptures and the word which Jesus had said." We often fail to understand the importance of the sacrifice of Christ. The reason all those animals were continually sacrificed in the temple related to sin. Sin entered the world in the Garden of Eden. Mankind was enticed into sin by Satan. Sin was found out and the wages of sin were assigned. Adam and Eve and every human being is to die once, the consequences or wages of sin. Mankind once had a close relationship with God, but sin got in the way of the relationship. Sin had to be covered over so that the relationship could be viable. The blood of an animal could cover sin. The problem was that the blood of a sacrificed animal was insufficient to give permanent covering for sin. No person or animal was good enough for a permanent solution for sin. God promised in the Garden of Eden and through the prophets to provide a Savior, someone who could save us from sin. We did not understand what the Savior would have to do. Just like an animal sacrifice, the sacrifice would have to be innocent. The sacrifice's blood would have to be shed. The Savior would have to die. The problem with sacrifice is that a sacrifice does not last. The only way to have a lasting sacrifice is to have a sacrifice that is living, not a dead sacrifice. The reason that the blood of Christ is so powerful when it comes to sin is the fact that the blood was shed in death, but the sacrifice now lives. The blood of Christ avails much because his blood continually covers sin. Christ died for sinners, and we have the promise of eternal life because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. As we end our time together, let us join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, please join us for worship this morning at 10 a.m. if you can. Zion Lutheran Church is a liturgical traditional Lutheran church located in Silver Hill on the corner of 4th Avenue and 7th Street. We are one block south of State Highway 104 and two blocks west of Highway 55. If you find the Silver Hill Library landmark, you are just a block away. Look for our signs. Want more information about our Lutheran Fellowship? Come to our website, www.lutheransinsilverhill.com, or give us a call at 945-5209. May God bless you in your spiritual walk this week, and don't forget to catch God's loving kindness in the morning next Sunday, same time and same place on your radio dial. We are entering the season of Lent with worship opportunities each Wednesday, beginning with Ash Wednesday, February 25th, and ending April 1. Each Wednesday, we will have a light soup and sandwich supper at 6 p.m. in the Zion Fellowship Hall, followed by a Lenten Vespers service in our church sanctuary at 7 p.m. Monday-Thursday Vespers will be on April 9th at 7 p.m. Our Good Friday Tenebrae service will be on April 10 at 7 p.m. Remember Jesus and his passion during Lent. If you do not have a midweek service available at your church, please join us for supper and evening vespers. Have you had the opportunity to bless a child in India or in Baldwin County? Zion Lutheran Church understands that the Holy Spirit brings people together within the body of Christ to accomplish His will. We have two mission projects that perhaps the Holy Spirit might plant on your heart. The first project relates to the Dalit children in Charala. We used to call the Dalit people the untouchables. Children are the hope of the Indian church in many ways, but the Dalits are out of the education loop in India. St. Paul's Lutheran Public School in Charala, Andhra Pradesh, India, can use our help for Dalit education. The second potential project relates to you if you live north of I-10 and south of I-65 in Baldwin County. We at Zion believe that the Lord wants to establish a Lutheran fellowship in this area. If the Lord lays the needs of the Dalit children on your heart, or if you desire to be part of a Lutheran fellowship in North Baldwin, please call us at 945-5209.